Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Missing Pages of History. We will continue to discuss domestic terrorism. Now, Freddie Gray has become another victim to domestic terrorism. How many more are to come? The North Daily Gazette of Dallas, Texas reported in 2014 that there was an average killing of 2 African-American males per week by policemen in the U.S. We are seeing reports that has indicated that up to 2 killings per 8 hours per day. We want to ask our listening audience today, what is this all about? Who benefit from these killings? When will it stop? Why Freddie Gray, a youth from Baltimore, Maryland, had to be the most recent victim? Discuss this issue with us are our analysts and contributors, Emmanuel and Susie. First and foremost, we'd like to welcome Emmanuel. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, we're going to ask you to start off and give me your assessment on the recent killing of Freddie Gray, who was a young youth in Baltimore City. He was killed by another police officer only because he refused to run away from them. Now, when has running away from a police officer became a crime? What has he done wrong? Just give me your insight on this dynamic. What can we learn from this, Emmanuel, this case of dealing with Freddie Gray?
Well, you can't learn a lot because, and this domestic terrorism and police and law enforcement is going to continue. And going on now for about 400 years, it's not going to stop. It's going to keep going on regardless. It's just more sophisticated now. And they can hide behind their uniforms and badges. And, of course, the DAs and the judges protect them, basically, because they end for the boots again. You have to fill these prisons up because quite a few of these guys own these private enterprises. You can't make money off of empty cells. It doesn't work. The strategy is basically inherited. They're going to keep it up regardless. They're going to be able to plant evidence on people to make their cases what they are. They're going to lie, continue to lie. They're going to continue to cover up things. This is their conduct. Their police misconduct is outlandish, and it's not going to stop. The benefits is very, very profitable. The judges know it is. It's very profitable. The wardens know it's very profitable. Who benefits from all this? I'm naming people who benefits from this. The federal government pays, of course, about $105,000 plus for each inmate per year. That's a lot of money. The private enterprises charge about $65,000. So that's why they've been 90 prisons in the next 5 years in the states of California, Florida, and Texas. Well, who in those states? Basically black and brown people. The thing is to lock you up and throw away the key. For petty crimes, 20 years. For petty stuff. Marijuana? Oh, please. Shoplifting? Please. Assault, because you slap somebody, or you whip your child or something, 15, 20 years, don't have a job, come out, you got to commit a crime. They create crime. There's 101 ways to create crime, and they're doing it all. Their mode, this is their mode, this is their conduct, this is their mode, this protection. The judicial system protects them. You see it on tape, you see it, don't make any difference. They don't care about no tape. They don't care about that. They're going to be exonerated some type of way. They're going to create something. It's a no-win situation. African Americans are basically the ones that are being targeted for everything that you can make money. Where it's medical, where it's hospital, whatever, it's there. Anywhere they can pick up Medicaid money, government money, that's where they're going. Anywhere they can make your tax dollars pay, they can flood it. Now the solution is, number one, file civil lawsuits. File them every time you feel there's misconduct. Do it every. Keep them tied up in court. Keep them paying out money. Break them. Then they'll stop it. Number two, take over your towns. If you're predominantly black, take the town over. Become the police chief. Become the prosecutors. Become everything. And that's what they do. The blueprint is made. Follow their blueprint. You're not going to have a predominantly white community of 60-70% white and let you become, you are 80-90% of the police force. That ain't going to happen. Or the fire department. Called the benefits. The benefits. They're not going to let you head the school board. Not going to let you become councilman. They're going to do basic, they're going to gerrymander everything they can to make sure this doesn't happen. So look at everything they do and why they do it. What does a police chief being white in a 70-80% black community? Shouldn't even happen. Not going to let it happen in their community. Don't let it happen in yours. Who can't put a fire out? Please. Discrimination. The new Jim Crow, it's all new Jim Crow stuff. And they make laws. They make laws and make sure that you return to the prison system. They're making laws every day to make sure that you do not get caught equality. They're going to keep it unequal. When they started out with separate and equal, you know that was a lie from Jump Street. It's separate and unequal. It's going to stay separate. This country was founded by the Native Americans. Look where they are. Was stolen from them. They're going to steal everything from you. It's the way they are. Understand that. I'm not saying all, but most. But they go along with the program. You go along with the line, you know, domestic terrorists called the police department. Not all of them are bad. But you got to weed them out, and they refuse to weed them out. Some of the backgrounds that you release, or they shouldn't even be a police officer. Some should be locked up. But they don't do that. Because they're making money for the judges, their retirement. They're making money for police officers and their retirement. They're making money. It's amazing how this is done. I'm going to tell you again, there's 26 think tanks that study black America. There's not a one that study white America. That's where our problem is right there. Expose them, everything they're doing. Everything you see, oh, it's right. They make it right, even though it's wrong. It comes down from the top. How they treat our president is racism at its best. And how they can lie, oh, we aren't racist, you are. You're as racist as you can be. We need to stop it. And we need to challenge and expose racism in every corner. Every corner. Again, if they can't use you, can't make money for them, they're basically saying, we don't need you. Well, if you're getting some uplifting, a little bit. We don't get much, but a little bit. Because our jobs are 66% service job, I mean, waiting on them. And they show you on the movie what they think of you. We ain't got no business making no movie like The Butler, but we did. But that's what they think of you as. They think of you again. The same way they thought about you 100 years ago, 200 years ago. They don't care how much education you got. President Obama, not the smartest guy they got in the government over there by a long shot. And you got stupidity in Congress and racism in Congress. They're stupid people. Incompetent people. We're afraid to call them incompetent. Yeah, they're incompetent. I'm not afraid to call them incompetent. So we are. Intimidation. They make the visual type positions, putting their hands on the hip, putting their feet up on the desk and the hand behind the head. This is all control positions that I'm in control. Well, you need to do the same thing. Do the same thing. Do it with respect. They ain't got none. Never going to have anything for you. They pick roles for you. They do certain things. But again, they have to keep that 90% negative news on you. Well, how about 90% negative news on them? There's a lot of it out there. We just don't say anything. But again, we're going to do an episode on the Woody Lynch letter. We need to do that one. That'll probably start waking us up to what's going on. With respect. But you got to expose what's going on. You expose that pocketbook. When you go, I tell you again, when you go to prison, when you get arrested, you want an attorney right away. Right away before you say anything. So you got to start fighting. That's what you need to fight it with. I want you to plea bargain. 80% of African Americans, they plea bargain when they haven't even done the crime. They plea bargain. But they got to lock somebody up. And you've been pointed. You've been targeted. All this stop and frisk stuff, and one just happened. Tampa Police Department. They ticketing children, basically, for bicycles. Bikes. Wrote over 10,000 tickets for bicycles. In black neighborhoods. Impoverished neighborhoods. Who ain't got no money? Only ain't got
a bike. What happened if you stop someone on a bike and they don't have no ID on them? What happened to the children?
They can put handcuffs on them. They can hold them until they get their parents involved. They can fine them. And most of them are getting fined $250, $300. But they're creating another revenue stream from an impoverished community. This is what they do. That's why they take the community over so they can make this happen. They do it for a reason. They make it happen. Who's going to do this kind of craziness? They are. Any way to make money so they can live in Florida, retire with big checks, live in Arizona with big checks. This is what it's all about. It's about the benefits. And they got to create that revenue. They're not going to tax people, the affluent people that much. Oh, no, they can't do that. They won't be in office. We have to look through that smokescreen they put on us. They're teaching kids. They tell them, well, this was getting to know people in the community. Getting to know people in the community? 11-year-old, 12-year-old child? You getting to know him? No, you introduce them to the system you got. The criminal justice is what you introduced them to at 11 and 12 and 13 years old. That's what you're doing. But you can't pull the wool on my eyes and brainwash me. I know what you're doing. I'm going to let people expose it. Yes.
You know, Emmanuel, when you look at this Freddie Gray incident, where less than 1 hour when they had brought him in, he ended up with a spinal injury to his neck and his backbone. How could that happen when he's already handcuffed?
Well, you don't know when it
happened. In the car.
You don't know when it happened, basically. But again, they got it on. I guess they got some footage. But the thing is, they put their knee, press your face up against the sidewalk. I've seen it happen numerous times, and put their knees in the back of your neck and on your spinal cord. This is what they do. Then they throw you in the, I call it the paddy wagon. That's what it is. Any kind of way, and you're not seatbelted in. So you roll all around up in it. They don't care. which increases the injury that you already have. Then sometime they beat them. Yeah, they beat them. Yes, they do. They know they do. Police brutality is what they do. They're cowards, most of them are. Most of them are cowards in there. 5, 6, 7, 8 jump on one man. But what is that about? If it take that many, they wouldn't be a police officer long. I'd get rid of them. Women is, beat women the same way. This is what they use. This is their DNA. They can't help themselves. They cannot help themselves. And again, that young man, it's going to be a civil suit. One of the guys I know very well, Billy Murphy, has got the case, and he's not going to stop. Billy Murphy, he knows what they do and how they do it and why they do it. He's a historian also, like I am. It's a history of law enforcement that do this. You've been targeted. Profile. African American, again, if they take from him, keep in a certain pocket of the community, make sure he stayed in that particular zip code, or make it a high crime area, and they're going to blow it up all the time. Everything else is quiet. They're going to make sure that they do 90% negative news on you. That's their whole, it's all there. It's all written. They keep doing it, and they're going to stop it any way you can. This is what they do. They want to make sure that you're subhuman. That's all they talk about in some of their books, subhuman. I have no idea what a subhuman is. Well, they are subhuman. They don't treat human beings like they're supposed to. You don't beat and rape and enslave people. You don't do that. That's subhuman. But they're trying to say that's right. That's the way to do it. And makes it right some kind of way.
So Jeff, all right, man, I want you. I'm going to stop you for a second, man. I would like for you to speak briefly on this other case, and then we got people on the line waiting to make some comments or questions. Atlanta's loaded up. What I want you to do is also, we had another recent case dealing with Eric Harris. He was a young man, 44 years old, out of Oklahoma City. He was killed by another police officer with the so-called assumption where the policeman stated that he thought he was reaching for a taser and shot him with the gun. And he was a 73-year-old officer, so-called insurance executive. What you make of that case?
Well, first of all, he was not a police officer. He was a reserve officer.
Exactly, auxiliary officer. That's correct.
Right.
Volunteer.
And he outfitted the police department. There were 5 automobiles, 5 cars. They go on fishing trips together, him and everybody's in cahoots. And what happened there was amazing to me, that for murder, he had no training records or anything, nothing. He was just one of those people that had money affluent in the neighborhood, and the judges and the police chief, they go on fishing trips in the Bahamas. Well, it all played out. The judge gave him, I think the bond was $25,000. And he could go on a vacation to the Bahamas, a fishing trip for one month. That's just amazing to me. You're talking about a miscarriage of justice? This is one. Every lawyer should be using this case across this country. My guy has a hobby. He likes to fish or like to hunt. Let him do that. Make the bail right, just do it right. This is equal justice now. You see how unequal it is. But how in the world he's reaching for his taser? He don't know which gun is what. But then he came back and lied, said he didn't recognize Well, you don't recognize your weapon. A taser gun is a lot different than a regular, 45 or whatever you're using, a police weapon or using, 9mm. It's different, totally different. The weight, everything is different. And what is he doing there anyhow, number one? The guy's handcuffed, and he shoot him. That's murder. Murder one. Not manslaughter, that's murder. But he said he made a mistake. Oh, he made a mistake? Well, people kill people for mistakes, I guess. So this is another one now we can use as mistakes. And the police chief is basically saying, well, it was a mistake. A mistake? He's a reserve police officer, untrained, 73 years old. What is he even doing out there? Why a police department bring a person volunteer-wise that age? I think there's an age limit. Regular police officers, regular law enforcement. How do you get a volunteer? It's what he is, a volunteer, to do this type of thing. Civil suit coming big time, should be in the millions. Break them. Sue everybody.
Yeah.
And I get the right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I believe they use the legal term charging the policeman with culpable negligence. It's clearly, you know, the legal term, getting them out of so-called charges of killing the young man. Says culpable negligence. That's the term they use.
So we got to use those same terms when our people do something, African Americans. You don't. They write the laws for you. They write them to go along. We have to do the same thing on our defense. The same thing. We don't care what it looks like. But who cares? They steal, you steal. They lie, you lie. It's all good. It's all good. That blueprint is made for you. They make the blueprint. They own 98.5% of all the business in America. They own them all, basically. You just support them. You need to start doing some sanctions. You need to stop going on Easter. Maybe stop shopping on Christmas. Maybe have a good Thanksgiving meal without the turkey, without the ham. Have all vegetable type. We need to stop supporting the capitalist system until it benefits us too. It wasn't made for you. You think they build a restaurant for you to come to? You think they build these things for you to come to? Please. You think they put a fast food restaurant for you to come to? When you couldn't even go one time. They didn't want you up in there at no given time. None. We have to look at our history. Look at our history. And look how it has excelled. But still look at the number. We don't look at the numbers. The numbers are the same. We had more business in 1865 than we have now. How many people know that? In 1865, when you couldn't hardly have anything. Most of it was up north, but regardless. We had more then than we have now. I'm going to do a topic on that one day. The businesses that we own, what they're worth. It's amazing. We're so far behind to the current ratios of the business world today.
All right, we can stop right there. Let our listening audience know that we are missing pages of history. We are discussing a continuation of domestic terrorism, highlighting two recent cases, Eric Harris and Freddie Gray. There were two young African males who was killed by the police department, and we'd like to hear your views and comments as well. Please feel free to call in at 818-337-0016. That's 818-337-0016. And if you have any views or comments, make sure you hit 1, and we will acknowledge the last 4 numbers in your phone. Press the 1, please. So we do have a caller who's been waiting for a while. We'd like to just right now go and get his views and his comment on the subject today, domestic terrorism and the recent cases that we just stated. We're going to call on number 3330. Caller 3330. Welcome to Missing Page of History. Your question or comment, please.
Well, my comment is going to be relating to what has been discussed thus far. What I noticed in Virginia recently, it's very interesting that you see a number of cop cars have gone back to the paint jobs during the civil rights and segregation protest era. And, you know, strong symbolism in that, considering how they treat us then and how they're treating us now. So it's amazing how this thing is continuing. It's almost like they're trying to send a message that, like, people to accept the inferiority complex or get it beaten into them when you see things like this happening. Because why would you even want kids to even be witnessing, you know, what their grandparents went through in a modern-day context, considering it wasn't nothing positive for them to celebrate or anything?
Uncalled. That's an interesting observation because I noticed the same thing through my travels. I see now they have converted these cars back into black and white and put you back in the old day remembrance. And I agree with you. A lot of times symbolisms and messages come out in different forms. I wonder what our people think when they now see these old black and white cars. Later on, I'm going to ask Emmanuel and other contributors, Susie, what do they think when they see black and white cars, police cars? But, caller, we'd like to thank you for your contribution today. Continue to support Mr. Pages. And we're going to try one other caller before we go to our contributors and, contributors and supporters. Caller, we have caller 0708. We have caller 0708. Do you have a question, comment you'd like to make? Caller 0708. Okay, I guess that caller just listening. We'll go to Susie. Welcome to Missing Pages. Based on our discussion, what contribution you'd like to share with the listening audience today?
I was looking. I just so happened managed to catch a news article, and they were interviewing a chief of police. And one thing that I found amazing was that the chief of police came out and said that he did not want his policemen to second guess any decision that they did. And I thought to myself, you want to save people. You still want to get those people doing the wrong thing. But why would you say not second guess? To say not second guess, then you're going to possibly injure or kill someone. Why would you want your policeman to have that kind of remembering that from your own police chief? So I said to myself, I said, that's right. And this was a black police chief. I just wondered how many other people actually caught that particular article with him saying that. And also, as far as the black and white cars, which is sending a terrible message, but I think they realize the message that they are sending to our young kids, especially since the older adults know about the black and white. But the point is now what they are doing with some cars, in Virginia, what they're doing is putting the blue lights on top. Now, they're saying that this way is to identify the police, but they're not going to do it on all the cars. It's only going to be certain cars that carry that blue light that you know is the police beforehand. And that's, I don't know why all cars are not going to have it. But that's what they said they're going to do, is only going to be certain cars that have it. Are those cars that's going to be used specifically for certain acts, or I'm not really sure. I said I was going to investigate it more, but that's all I have to say.
I'd like to thank you, Susie, as an analyst and contributor for Mr. Pages. Going back to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, two things, Emmanuel. One, we'd like to get your general take. What do you think, what kind of symbolism or message they're sending by reverting back to old black and white police cars?
Well, the thing, again, similar to, again, it's a black and white issue. Why, when you have them black and white, you don't want them red and white or yellow and white, whatever the color you want, you'll make them black and white. This is a black and white issue. They're locking you up at a pace almost 80%. Understand the numbers. You're 12% of the population. Why are you 80% being locked up, basically, when the end up is about 60% African-American in prison? Well, that means you're targeted, you're profiled, highly profiled, not just profiled, highly profiled. And if someone doesn't make the attitude, they lock you up. Well, Ms. Suby's talking about the police chief being black and saying second-guessing. He wants to keep his job. They have to think that way. They have to talk that way. Their jargon has to be that way. They keep their job. They're going to do that. They still got the same portfolio to follow. They're not going to follow anything different. But we got to be different because what's happening is different. Understand, there's no compromise when you don't, when it's just one-sided like this. There's no compromise. The Republicans don't compromise, but I'm a Democrat. They want things to go their way negative. Make sure that the legacy, sure that he don't succeed in a way they possible. And this is what goes on all over this country. The conservatism, which is racism. That's all what it is. That's a longer word. Oh, I'm conservative. That means you're racist. Racism. The word racism is in conservatism. It's not in the word Democrat, democracy. It's not in that word. But we don't understand. We don't want to understand. Or we're afraid or intimidated. Likewise. Well, it's too late to put us on reservation like they did when they stole the country from Sitting Bull. It's too late. They are the real founding fathers. They're the real founding father, Native Americans. We need to stop that history right now. Go talk to them. See what they say. Who are the founding fathers? And once you steal something, you got to make a law to keep it. Well, they wrote the Constitution after they stole it. But they did. Didn't include everybody. Use a piece of property. Piece of chalice, how they wrote you in. Not as a human being. No, do that. Understand how it all began. Understand our first president had slaves, 2,700 of them, George Washington. So while we honor him, I don't know why. White supremacy, how do we stop it? How do we make it equal? Everybody's the same. Very difficult. Very difficult. Racism is here to stay. Pinch off a little bit at a time to try to get somewhere. And the ones that get where they want to get at, they're not going to try to do anything for anybody else. But I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. You got to understand the word ownership. If you don't own, you have nothing. You got zero if you don't own. The whole thing is about ownership. And they name certain things to make sure that you understand. Words like dynasty, supreme, master. It lets you know what's going on. And it lets you see it on TV every day. On the internet, every day. Let you see it. Regardless how good you are, how better than you are at certain things than they are, they still going to be the boss. Whether you like it or not. You have to call yourself, well, I'm the boss, I'm this. And no, you're not. No, you're not. They're going to lock up dads. Soon they lock up dads. There's a single person home. It won't long before they get the teenage son. They know it. This is what they studied, those 26 think tanks studying Black America. This is what they said, how to keep this going. This is what they do. You need to take your children, take them to a town hall meeting in your town, your church, whatever it takes, and need to talk, give them a history lesson on a weekly basis like you do Bible study. But the ministers really don't care. All they want to do is fill their pockets up as usual, make sure their family goes to college and their wife is doing fine. That's all they worried about. Not worried about your child. They're worried about how much offering you put in that plate. That's all they're worried about. Make sure that happens. They have a good life. But they're the ones that have to reach the mass. They're the ones that have to reach the mass over and over again. We got to penetrate these minds. But these are the ones they're locking up. They're locking up your grandchildren. Your children is who they're locking up. And they want more single moms. A single mom, she has to go to work. Where the child at? On his own lock and key. 12, 13 years old. These are the ones they're locking up. Starting the school system right away. They got to keep this going. They cannot make money off of imp sales.
Now, Emmanuel, you did mention something earlier in your presentation about there are some bigger states, Florida, Texas, and California, when in the next 2 to 3 years, they're talking about building 30 enterprises, which is a new code word for prisons. How does all of this play into the new enterprises being built? That's can you share the connection with our audience?
They play in concert with the justice system. So you got to make sure that you corrupt the justice system. You make sure that the process is corrupt. You make sure that injustice prevails, and make sure that the sentencing is longer than normal. They know you don't have the money. You can't afford the big-time lawyer. You don't afford the court-appointed attorney. They're not going to fight that hard. You're not making that much money. They're not going to fight. They want to plea bargain all this crap. That's what they're coming at you with. The private enterprises, who are the investors? Well, the investors are wardens, former wardens and wardens, police chiefs, deputy police chiefs, sheriffs, people in law enforcement. They're the one basically investing money in these private enterprises. And again, the federal government is basically, they have like a pathway straight to these private enterprises where they can save money. They can save money. So you're paying $105,000 plus, and they're paying $65,000, we're going to ship to the private enterprise. Well, I don't want to do 1 or 2 years or 6 months. I need a longer term than that. Well, give everybody we got what to do 5, 6, 7 years more, 8 years, 10 years more, regardless. Where you're shoplifting, whether it's been that weed in their pocket. If it don't happen, we plant stuff on them. We plant marijuana. We plant dope. We're going to keep it in the car. We're going to plant guns. We're going to do everything we need to make sure that this happens. And we're going to back you up. The DA is going to back you up. The prosecutor is going to back you up. The judge is going to back you up. We're going to make it happen. So we're the private investors in these private enterprises. So this side, it's all concerted. Understand the criminal justice system. Understand what it takes to run one. Who are the vendors? Who's supplying the food? I mean, who's supplying the clothing that they're wearing and all this stuff? Who is supplying all this? The recreational stuff, the TVs, I mean, the lifts, the weight lift, the weights, the basketball, the footballs. Who's supplying all this stuff? They're making money from every way you can think of. Who's building the prison? Who's the construction company building the prisons? Who are they to put you in? Well, it's black folk going up in there. Black folk need to invest. Need to own some of them. This is you. Own some of it. Okay? And ask the judges why African Americans get 7.5 years longer for the same crime that a white dude. Ask all the judges and find out who the judges are. Do background checks on the judges, see where they come from, what family they come from, see if they come from a family of white supremacy or come from a family of racism, whether they're Republican, whatever they are. Find out who they are before you vote for them. Very important. Get them out of office. How you can remove a corrupt judge, a lying judge, a racist judge. Learn we got to learn how to do this. Town hall meetings. Get lawyers together. Get law professors at our black universities and white universities. How do you do this? Get rid of corrupt judges. Most of them are corrupt. I know that for a fact.
Emmanuel.
Lawyers in with judges.
Susie. I would like to just get y'all respond to this question, then we'll have to do a closing, and we'll go back to our caller that's still waiting. If we look at the behavior of the criminal justice system and their lack of respect, as you alluded to earlier, President Barack Obama, how much respect do you think they would give to any ideas that come from people of African descent in America?
A question for me?
For you and Susan, I'd like to hear your response to that. Yes, Emmanuel.
Well, the respect is never going to be there. The respect is for you. When you don't respect the highest office in the land, and you hold up an attorney general 168 days before you confirm her, we have a problem right there. And the first thing they said, why they didn't confirm her, why this or that, especially the Republicans, well, she agreed with the president. She got to disagree with him. What are we talking about here? That's not justice. Richard Pryor said it best. He said, justice means just us. And that's what it means, just us. Understand this, people. You got a fight on your hand. They won't never want you to be free. No such freedom didn't mean for you. Freedom of religion, that wasn't a part of it. You weren't part of that. Understand how the Constitution is written and the preamble, how it's written. don't include you. When it's an all don't include you. You got to make yourself part of the all. You got to fight everything you do until you get equal justice, equal rights in everything. Everything is uniformly to be racist, the ones that control it. Because they control the money and the power. And they're going to stay that way. They're going to do everything they can to stay that way. Only way you can corrupt that power is stop the spending power. Sanctions. There's certain things we're not going to do this and do that. And they will stop it all. Once that pocketbook, once rich become poor, they don't like that. Nothing wrong with the economy. Too many businesses. They won't say what the problem is. You got the same amount of car on the street. You got the same amount of that. But again, they want to make more profit. It's all about profit. Where I went to school at, I had to read this book. It said slavery was not profitable. How in the world are you going to brainwash someone say slavery was not profitable and you keep it around for 400 years? Why would you keep something around for 400 years if it was not profitable? And you should have heard the excuses I read why it was not profitable. I could not believe it. But a liar can write anything. When you're born to lie, when you're born to lie through the church, through religion, it's going to happen all the time. They deny Jesus Christ. So you know what? That's a lie. But that's what it's all about. Why do you think when the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill? They do all of these things. They think nothing wrong with it. And we sort of abide with it sometimes. Because our poor...
Let me stop you there for a second, Emmanuel. We only have a few minutes left. Susan, your response to it. They don't respect those in power. Yes, go ahead, Susan.
Well, okay. Well, the powers that be that were just like the president on their heads and everything that Mr. Jordan was saying and stuff, the thing about it, how do you really get that to change, and which is a hard feat to accomplish. But the thing of it is, I think if we could get our churches and our communities and stuff to get the young folks to see, to think further than what they are about things that's going on, then I think eventually we'll be able to get through them, we'll be able to get power in that we can respect, that we'll be for the benefit of not only just us, but for everybody. But it's a hard journey to go down. We've been going down it for 400 years, so it's still going to take some time before that's going to actually happen.
Caller, 45 seconds, last statement, 3330. You have a last statement you'd like to make. Call 3330.
Well, the way we have to go about dealing with these kind of mass injustices is to educate the masses, because that's the only way when we are all informed on a collective level. Because as far as certain individuals having the knowledge, and if they don't necessarily share with others, we're not going anywhere.
Excellent point. In closing, Emmanuel, 1 minute, give me your final thought. You said this is a part of capitalism. Seems to us we don't need to get rid of capitalism, it can get rid of us. Give our people your final comment on this question of domestic terrorism and looking at these cases that we just recently discussed as relate to Freddie Gray and Eric Harris. 1 minute. All yours.
Number one, we have to file wrongful death lawsuits against the officers, police chiefs, everybody who's involved, and make them millions of dollars worth of damage. Well, that's going to affect a lot of things once you do that. And if we got to keep on doing, we can't stop and sell for small amounts of money. We got to, they're going to reduce it anyhow, but at least put the big money out there. They respond to, you know, $50 million, $40 million. They respond to that. Where it gets knocked down to, you know, $750,000, it makes no difference. But put the big headline out there. See, we like headlines. America loves headlines, big headlines. And again, the young is our future. And you see where it's going. They're locking up.